Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Another live prophetic talk show. Welcome to the place where we actually do it and where we talk about it. Good to be with you tonight. And I'll be right there with you.
No. Okay. Talk to him.
All right, everybody, we're here tonight and trying to get rolling here. Thank you for being with us. It is Wednesday night where we minister to everybody and speak to everybody. So if you want some of that, we're willing to give it to you. All right. So hang on. I'll be right there with you. All right, if you haven't got the number yet, it's 319-527-6027, and you can call in, and we will minister you tonight, however you need it, all right? Okay. All right, I'm having to do a couple things. Hang on just a second here, I'll be right there with you. Welcome to the place tonight, and trying to get on the site here. I'm having a little computer issue here. All right, finally we got it. All right, there we are. All right, welcome everybody. Tonight we are going to be praying for everyone tonight and seeing how everybody's doing, so get ready for that. We are here to minister to you personally and getting excited about our website and stuff. Things are happening out there. And we are getting our app store ready for our what we call Global by Mobile. And really, really excited about that. So open up your hearts and get ready for us to get traveling to the next level here and see if we can do some things that we've never done before. So we're excited about that. We've been working on that heavy duty. Finally getting somewhere in a major way. So our app is going to be ready for a brand new level. And, plus other things that are going on. We've got Zoom going on. We're doing our live prophetic Blood of the Doorpost on video tomorrow night. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So get ready for that. And a lot of other things that are kind of kicking along. So we are excited. Things we've been wanting to do for, we've done before, already done them, but we're just kind of reactivating them a little bit more and adding to them a little bit more and seeing where it takes us. So it's really, really, really cool. All right. Okay. I'm having a little bit of a computer issue tonight, so I may have to take just a minute to go through something here. All right, we're going to be opening up that place in the hearts of people where they want to be encouraged and built up and build them up toward the right things and help them understand who they are, teach them about their bloodline, and hope for the future for people that are like you and me, who struggle with things and battle with stuff and have all kinds of battles and struggles going on, just need a little help along the way. There's nothing like getting a little bit of understanding for that. So we're going to be giving a lot of that. We're very, very excited about it. All right, I think we're getting it figured out. Wow, what a night to have issues a little bit. A lot of our kinks are getting worked out on all kinds of things. I'm really excited about that. All right, we want to pray for you and minister tonight. I'm actually out walking around outside for me. I to do something in your hands, right? All right, everyone, I am here. I think I got everything fixed. Kind of had to get off and get back on again. So we're here tonight. All right. Sorry about that. It's just like, wow, crazy, 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 crazy. All right, praise God. It's already 9:24. Amazing. All right, praise God. Wow, I want to talk a little bit tonight about how that God is building our faith, and we're in the faith building business, so we're really believing God to build people's faith the right way, the biblical way, the way that the Word of God talks about it. faith comes by hearing. So we're really believing God to open up the ears of God's people and to break away the things that are, you know, that are deafening people, the reason they can't hear the voice of God and the purposes of not being able to hear the voice of God, to the place to where they can, you know, open up and receive and believe God for miracles. Right? We're in a season of miracles. But we're going to find out that miracles are not just in one particular way. They are in multitudes of ways. And so God is going to open us up to a lot of those things. And I believe we're in a season of miracles. And God is going to see us through things that we've never been seen through before. You know, we're being opened up to all the different ways, the different manifestations of God. And sometimes he heals. Sometimes he, you know, allows people to go through things if they need to be broken. And it's not his perfect will, but sometimes God does whatever he has to do. And we see it in all kinds of places, like with Joseph. Joseph was a young man. He had to grow. And so a lot of the injustices that he went through were to either make him or break him. And his heart was already set. Once your heart's already set with God, then God takes full advantage of it. And he goes in there and he starts to, you know, do things that, since you've given your will to him already, it's kind of like, now, you, oh boy, what now? And that's exactly what happens. He begins to do things and work things through you. Taking you places that you wouldn't have chosen to go for yourself. Like he told Peter, he said, you're going to go a place that you don't want to go. And people are going to do things to you you don't want them to do. But sometimes, you know, like Paul the Apostle had the thorn in the flesh. And what God was trying to teach him, as we talked about last night, was grace. And a lot of us have truth. A lot of us at least believe we have truth. But the thing is that God's taking our truth, and we're looking at it through the eyes of Jesus, the eyes of grace, real grace, true grace. And freedom grace, the kind of grace that is free, and that doesn't, it's not costly. He's not getting us to commit to him, you know, in a way that we're buying it. We it's already been paid for, and all we're learning to do is, as we go through these difficult situations, is to learn how to yield to him. And the more we learn how to yield to him, the more we enter in. The defeats we go through and the battles that we go through, and the fact that we lose some and win some has nothing to do with, you know, going to hell or heaven anymore. That's settled with God. If you're truly born again, it's settled with God. Now he's trying to open up circumstances for you, bring you through things, difficult things, hard things, trials and situations and testings to show you what you're really like. Like there's a new guy at the Planet Fitness where I work, what little I do work out, actually. But I do go there some, and pretty regular, but there's a new guy there, right? He's worked at the front desk, and he's, you know, he's a little bit hyper and nice, very nice person, really is truly a nice person, but a little bit over hyper, and I'm sitting there, you know, I'm not used to that. With those people, most of those people are fairly laid back, and he's really hyper, and he kind of likes me for some reason, you know, and attached, you know, he'd come wait on me every time I'd show up. And it just was driving me nuts. I mean, I'm like going, man, you know, I love coming here, but this guy's like making it a hard trip to come. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, what's up with all this? And so finally, as usual, the Lord says, yeah, Randy, because I'm going to show you some things about yourself that you wouldn't normally be able to take heed to and listen to and learn from had I not brought you a situation, a circumstance, to show you yourself, put a mirror in front of you. You may be a little bit extreme, maybe whatever, more extreme than you are, but sometimes God has to bring extremes in front of us in order for us to, you know, be able to see ourselves. If, in fact, we can learn, like I was taught in my young days with the Lord, that, you know, to God would bring all kinds of circumstances and situations and people in your life, many times to show you yourself, right? To show you yourself. And so, yeah, so it's truly, truly amazing how that we, God does whatever he has to do to get us to grow, to get us to learn,
to get us to so that our faith, it's what we're going tonight, is that so that our faith can be in him and not in ourselves. Paul the Apostle got a flesh so he would have his faith in God and not in himself, basically. And he was a righteous man. He was a law-abiding citizen. He was a lawyer, basically, under the law. And he knew a lot, and he was a good man. And so God had to get him a lot of troubles that were beyond him and people to irritate him and bring him somewhat trouble, whether it was demons. You know, it said he had a thorn in the flesh, Satan. You know, whatever Satan is used to do sometimes, it is mainly when God is allowing those things. It is to show us ourselves. It may be an extreme, maybe a real extreme, but whatever it takes, and sometimes the less that we are observant of knowing that he's bringing us a mirror in the realm of a person, the more extreme the people will get. And it's like, why does my situation just keep getting more extreme? When I prayed, I thought they were going away. Now they came back in a stronger person. And now, like, I got it going on all over again. So, so it's really, really interesting how that works. And so this guy, you know, so like I said, as usual, when I told the Lord how he was irritating me, he says, yeah, you know what that means, right? And I'm going like, yes, sir, I sure do. And so really already, because I caught it quick, thank God, it took a few irritations, maybe a month or so of just going up there three or four times a week and getting that irritation thing going on to where, you know, it was enough to where it started getting on my nerves, and I was beginning to, dislike, you know, him being there, right? So that doesn't happen to me too often. I'm pretty, you know, flexible in most ways, but yeah, I mean, this guy is like extreme. And so the Lord says, yeah, I'm bringing that to you so that you can, learn from it and see yourself in it and grow in it and know, you know, what I'm doing inside of you and how I'm trying to tweak you and change you and move you to a place of being closer to me and being more usable, and where you don't, the Holy Spirit convicts people around us. When we truly have the Holy Spirit and he's using us, he convicts people, you know, around us. And that's enough. Conviction is enough irritation. But when we got our little things, our little quirks that, you know, that are a little bit much and cause people to get extra irritated, then it interferes with the work of God that he's trying to do through us. You see what I'm saying? So so this is something that God's always working on with me, and I know I have my things too, no doubt about it. But God's beginning to show me that, you know, the reason he brings those things is because one of the things is because I understand he uses it. I learned that a long time ago, thank God. And another thing is that, it's so effective. It's really effective. It just drives me nuts. I mean, I just like going, oh my God, my most favorite thing to do, going, one of the things that distract me a little bit, going to the gym. And now I am oh God, I hope that guy's not up there because he really irritates me. And the Lord says, yeah, I'm preparing you, getting you ready for some stuff. So anyways, that's the latest interesting thing that God's been doing with me. To grow me and to let me see myself a little bit more. So and if you don't ever get a hold of that friend, I guarantee you, you're going to find out that, I know it just doesn't happen to me. It happens to, I think it happens to everybody, but it's really hard to think that person standing in front of you that is a little bit overly, whatever it is, and is somewhat like you. It's when you embrace it, when you embrace it, you get through it faster. You actually get through it faster because the purpose of that, just like the purpose of Paul's thorn, after he prayed three times, it wouldn't go away. God said, I'm not gonna let that thing go. You're gonna keep that thing. I'm gonna use it to show you my grace. So you know, the sooner he learned grace, you know, the better off it was with the thorn, right? So it's really, really interesting how that you know, God does that stuff and opens us up to those things and has ways of, you know, lovingly and very upfront, you know. At least I don't live with them. I don't have to see them every day. Like, you know, like, wow. And God can use your husband. He can use your wife. He can use your kids, especially our kids. Sometimes our kids can be the best thing to, you know, teach us what we're really like, you know, because we raised them. They have our blood in them, right? And so, you know, then it break your heart sometimes when you see your kids acting just like you. Yeah, it's kind of irritating. nothing goes to your heart faster than that. That is for sure. So, anyway, interesting. I see the overall realm that God's taken me personally, and I think he's taken all of us, is through the realm of miracles, so that we can, and we're going to talk about this more in the future, but the different kinds of miracles that God's going to do. Sometimes miracles are healings, miracles. Sometimes miracles are, open blinded eyes, you know, healing the sick, casting out devils, you know, giving us financial miracles, blessing miracles, you know, things that change you from not having enough to having enough, and to having, you know, a devil, or having a problem, or having a sickness or a disease, and we get delivered of it, and God delivers us from it. And, you know, it's a miracle. But then there's going to be the miracles as we approach the end times, which I believe we are totally in. No doubt about it to me. We are totally in the end of end times. And because of that, the kind of miracles we're going to see are like the days of Moses and the days of Elijah, where, you know, even Paul the Apostle blinded a guy one time, right, because he was being – I forget exactly what he was doing, but Paul, you know, blinded the guy. I mean, what kind of miracle is that? Oh, we had a miracle last night. What happened? Oh, Brother Chandler blinded somebody. Wow, what was that? Maybe we should blame that one on somebody else. Brother, let's see, who can I call out after you? Brother Chris or whoever. Yeah, I had a miracle service last night. What happened? Yeah, three people got blinded. Woo, hallelujah. You know, and so sometimes, you know, the playground where God is doing heavy-duty evangelism, and he's wanting to, like we talked about many times, if you listen to the show much, where we've talked much about how that, you know, sometimes God does plagues, like the anointing for the two witnesses happens to be plagues. I mean, come on, Revelation 11, read it for yourself. It said they can do plagues anytime they want to, anytime they will it, you know, like, well, what a thing to give somebody, anytime they will it. Well, they better be close to God. Well, of course, we know they are, but yeah. So anyway, it's pretty cool. But so miracles of all kinds, and what we've got to see is that when we see disasters sometimes, and I'm not talking about Florida or anything like that, okay, so everybody knows that, with the hurricane right now. I don't even know what's going on with that. But you know, we're going to see disasters happen. We're going to see plagues and things happen that are going to be controlled by God and by God's servants. And so we're going to have to open up our eyes and realize that God was going to do whatever he wants to, because he wants to evangelize. And evangelism sometimes is, you know, when he's dealing with a hard people, he goes in a hard fashion, like with Jonah, in the days of Jonah. You know, God was dealing with a hard situation, a very difficult situation. And what did he do? He sent Jonah, a very anointed prophet who was known to bring repentance, walks through the town and says, in 40 days, you're going down. And, you know, and it was going to happen, you know, except the fact that they repented. And so it was a harsh word. If you go read that sometime and read it without commentary, it's just read it, you know, pure. It basically says that Jonah, you know, walked through the city and said, you know, in 40 days, this city's going to be overtaken, you know. And so that was not good news. It's like saying your city being overtaken by your enemies, like Iran or Russia or whatever. You know, yeah, by this time, you know, in 40 days, you're going to be. And he walked through the whole city saying that. He didn't say, if you repent, God will change his mind. He had nothing. He said nothing about repentance, nothing about change of mind. He said nothing about any of that. And so, yeah, so it was really, really a big deal And, you know, so that was a situation that brought what? Revival. You know, a prophet going through the city saying, in 40 days, you're going to be overtaken by Iran in 40 days. You know, and thus saith the Lord, not trying to threaten people to get right with God. And the people actually, from the leaders on down, believed him. Right? Because the leader knew that he was talking about his city. I'm not talking about, you know, a few people, a couple of neighborhoods. You know, he was talking about, you know, the whole city, and it was a big city. Nineveh was a huge, was a big place. And so, you know, God was talking about taking a city. And how did he do it? There was not one healing, not one miracle, not anything. And these were unbelievers, just like you go to Africa and you, you know, have healing miracles. People get saved and, you know, miracles happen. And it's truly amazing. But so miracles are going to happen, and God's going to bring repentance however he has to, whatever it takes. God is so loving. He's so kind. He's so generous. He wants people to come to him, because eternal hell is not something you want for anybody, not your worst enemy. And he knows more about hell than anybody. So, you know, God doesn't want that for anyone. All right. So he will go way out of his way to, you know, to cause people to repent. So we're going to see that. You're going to see a Nineveh, in a sense, you know, a bunch of people who were, you know, in this case, these were anti-Semites, is that the right word? Anti-Semitic. And they hated Jews. They tortured Jews. They practiced on Jews, torturing Jews, them to find out the best way to torture. And so that's why one of the reasons, at least the word is, that Jonah did not want to go in there, was because of what they had done to the Jews. They were very hateful, just like Iran. You know, Iran hated, you know, hates Jews now. Just think about if they overtook the city, right? And so, what happens when the city's overtaken? People die. The leader's going to die, right? That kind of thing. I think about Nineveh. They were going to be overtaken. So what happened was, the leader goes, man, this is not just about the people. You know, man, so the amazing thing is that he got right with God. The leader of the city, the mayor, the governor, whatever he was, got right with God. And sure enough, you know, because of that, and he commanded that all the people and their animals and everything. It was a very serious thing, friend. Nineveh is probably one of the greatest examples that I can think of a miracle happening, a repentance happening, where it wasn't just about what most people think, you know, revival, signs, wonders, miracles, and people getting saved. You know, this was a guy walking through town, hollering out loud, and going through all the places where the word would get spread, and walked all through the town for 40 days and said, you know, you're going to be taken down in 40 days. Yeah. And he was scared to death. God was going to, you know, they would repent. And because Jonah had a lot of repentance in his ministry. He had an anointing for it. I believe he had a real anointing for repentance. And that's why he didn't want to go, because he knew his anointing, which was an anointing for repentance, that God, when God sent him places, people repented. Right? So he said, I don't want to go there, because they're going to repent. When I walk through there, they're going to repent. And you'll have mercy on them. You know, and I don't want that. So I'm not going to let you use my anointing to, you know, to win Nineveh. I'm not going to let it happen. So anyway, there you go. So that kind of miracles I'm talking about, you know, prophets doing things like we see the two witnesses doing things that are so unique, so different, that people are going to go like, man, what, the revival through plagues? Oh, my God, never happened before. Oh, yeah, happened lots of times. Or not lots of times, a few times. And when God did it, it delivered Israel out of Egypt, you know. And so there's been a lot of things that God's done. We could talk about all the things, because when we talk about revival, and we talk about healing miracles and people getting delivered from devils, that kind of thing. So but when you talk about the other kind of ways God, through the generations, has brought repentance and change and miracles to people, you know, in their lives, it's pretty amazing. It's just really, 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 really amazing. And so, yeah. anyway, we're going to believe God for that because that's the kind of faith. Our faith has to be pure, and our pure means that we don't tell God he can't do certain kind of miracles because we don't agree with him and we don't like him. We don't like the effect that it scares people. Right, and God's going like, man, I want repentance. I want to bring people to I don't want them to go to hell. I don't care how evil and bad they've been. They were evil and bad because they had bad blood, most of them. And so I know that. That's where when I sent my son and shed his blood so they could have a blood transfusion, get a new genetic code going on, and be delivered. And so because God knows all that and the injustice that happened with Adam and Eve when they sinned and the whole world became cursed with bad DNA, and then everybody else sinned after that because of them. You know, I mean, when you think about that, you'd see why God went to such extreme measures to turn everything around because of what happened and the injustice in the sense that happened because of, you know, two people sinned. They ate some fruit and they, you know, brought sin on all of us. And so when you understand looking at it through God's eyes, looking at it through grace instead of through law, we know the law, we know the truth, we know people fail, they fail, but we also look through grace knowing why they do, and God reaches out with all of his unmerited favor to touch the people and change them and deliver them. Yeah, so very, very interesting. Okay, here we are tonight. Sorry for being late tonight. I had a few little issues going on there. But we got it figured out. So thank God. Thank God it all worked out. I was beginning to wonder. And, so anyway, we're here tonight, and we're going to take callers next. And so let's get ready to do that. Thanks for being with us tonight. Thanks for being patient with me. You know, some of you have been with PGN a long time. You know, sometimes we have little things that go weird, and we just fix them as we can and get on the road and go at it. Like I said, we're getting the app. The app is on the way. In fact, you can go to the app, get the app right now. So those of you who have iPhones, you can't get the app yet, not quite. But if you have they never really took the app off of the other phones, Androids, yeah. They never really took the app off the Android phone for some reason. When you go to I found that out today. Anyway, but you can go to, if you want to download the app now, and I've redone a lot of it. I'm right on the verge of, see some of the changes. I'm doing a lot more connecting today. I did some more connecting today, fixing things, making things really, really easy, the whole new look to it. So you can go down. Here's what you can do. Get ready for this. Write this down or go to the App Store in your Apple Store. Those of you have Apple Store, those of you have iPhones for the apps, with the App Store, go to the App Store and download the church app, CHURCH app, the church app, and click on it. It's a little gray thing with a little light cross on it, a gray-looking cross on it. And it's called the church app, and it has all these different churches on there, different ministries. Download that on your app. It's for free. And then search for PGN. I think it's under PGN. Yeah, I think PGN. If not, put Randy Chandler. I think on the Android, it's under Randy Chandler, under the church app, which is a way you can look at the app right now. And in a few, I don't know exactly how many days, but very soon the Subsplash people will have my app back on the App Store. We can re-download it if you need to do that. But you can go to your App Store. The only thing that hasn't changed is the artwork for the opening, the way it looks on your phone, the app looks on your phone when you look at it. It's still red, has that reddish and bluish look. And it's very nice, but we're changing it, and that's the only thing, one of the things I haven't been able to change artwork-wise, and I'm working on that. But you'll see that's going to be the same, but everything else is completely being changed because we're going to make it really, really easy. We're going to do video, we got audio, we got for the archives for all of our hosts, our ministers, I'm calling them. I can't decide whether I want to call them hosts or ministers. Which y'all let me know what you want, hosts or ministers, when I put it on the app. I think host is shorter. Ministers, I don't know, you know, hey, listen to our catch the ministers archives or the host archives, which is all of our hosts, not me, but them. And so, but I'm a host too, so I'm working on that. Little things like that, you know, perfect things, make them easy. So y'all let me know what you think about all that. And can go and download the church app on your iPhone. You can also still go to the Android, your Android phone, and put in there, look in the store there. I forget what it's called, but and search out Randy Chandler and the Android, and the app is there, and you'll see how I've redone it. So really, really cool. And the iPhone, the App Store, look for PGN, I believe it is. And when you go to the get the church, once you get the church app downloaded, then pretty soon our own app will be back on there again. If you can't, aren't able to download it right now today on the iPhone. All right. So I know I'm giving a lot of information, but there's been a lot going on. I've been working on it, and we're trying to really make it easy because we're really going to work on opening up things that we've really already done, but we're going to accelerate them. We've already been doing them already. It's not like we need to, you know, figure out how to do them new. The Zoom thing we haven't done before, but everything else we've already done, we're just accelerating it a little bit. And so it's nothing really new, just acceleration and making everything plain, easy, simple, and, you know, hopefully we'll be able to do what we need to do there. What it looks like, really looking good. So, all right, let's take our callers tonight. Thank you for being with us, to 769-325-804. After that, 610 after that, 214-646 after that, 912 after that, 402-650 after that, 612-991 after that, 863-605 after that, 803-991 after that, 303-686 after that, 251-229 after that, and then we have a few that don't have their hands up. All right, let's take our first call tonight. All right, 202-722, my talk to your friend, please.
Hey, Brother Randy, it's Daryl Paul and Nicole from, I'm doing it again, Randy, from Maryland and D.C.
Hey, man, America will work. just work.
I'm going to use that.
Ask Nicole if you can just say America.
He's like, Randy knows me from the call from D.C., so I've always been using it for that, Randy. Okay?
I know. I know exactly. All right, my brother. Thank you very much. I love it. All right. I thank the Lord for that washing and cleansing, that refreshing thing. I just sense that there's this, like a sense of a new purpose. For you, Daryl, if I call you Glenn Paul, sometimes forgive me because I have a nephew named Glenn Paul, and he's always a really cool guy. And, so sometimes I might slip and call you Glenn Paul, but it just, you know, just remind me. Anyway, I know it's Daryl Paul, and I usually call you Daryl Paul, but Daryl Paul, thank you, Lord, for refreshing. It's like I sense this thing like God is giving you a new sense of, you know, purpose, a new sense of, you know, some things that you just wanted to be used by the Lord, and ways that you enjoy, ways that you had like. Okay. Yeah, Angie, I see you there. All right. Thank you for that. All right. Yeah, I see 804-218. Daryl Paul, that it's almost like a cleansing, you know, in a sense, because, you know, sometimes when we get, when we lose our purpose, or when we find ourselves, you know, just kind of like, you know, what do I do next? What's going on? You know, as far as ministry goes, or, you know, our business or our life, you know, I just sense this thing of new, fresh purpose, new freshness. It's almost like a cleansing thing that it does to you. Because when you get a purpose going on, it makes you feel fresh and new and that kind of thing. Lord, I thank you for that, and I thank God for cleansing you and washing you with that purpose, because that's what a purpose does for me. It cleanses me. It makes me feel like I'm of a value, you know, because what really makes us feel valuable, Daryl Paul, is purpose. When we have purpose, And when we're walking in God's purpose, we feel value toward ourselves because we're doing what God wants to do. But we're doing our own thing, even though we may be doing a lot of purposes, a lot of things, we dry up and become unclean in a sense, you know, or we feel like old. Not that you're old, but we feel, you know, kind of like dried up because we're doing a lot of things, but it's not really the purpose of God. The purpose of God refreshes you. The purpose of God washes you and cleans you, makes you feel clean and fresh. And so, yeah, so it's really, 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 really cool. All right, Nicole, thank you, Lord, for Nicole tonight, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for everything that's ever divided you. You know, I sense, you know, like sometimes we have people that divide us, you know, like our parents, you know, our family sometimes pulls on us, you know, to divide us, to, you know, in a sense, try to get us to go their way, do what they want, do what they think. And then there's, you know, and then we, you know, have, you know, the Lord, you know, calling us and drawing us and pulling us to come his way. And so, yeah, so we are seeing you in that place of feeling like one, like although things pull at you, you don't, it doesn't like mess with you, you know. You can feel a pull, but when a pull hurts and causes pain in the wrong kind of way, then it's so I see God really haunting in this thing, and your focus on your purpose, your focus on your the way you're going and what's happening with you, and really, you know, that feeling divided, that feeling, that thing of feeling like, you know, people are pulling at you and all these different things, and God just, you know, taking hold of you really and you know, holding you in the sense of, you know, not so you don't feel so that pull, that thing doesn't mess with you. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't really mess with you. You feel like your focus has become more unified with God in a way that it never has before, in a brand new way, you know, in a fresh way, in a new way. And that way your focus will cause you to, you know, your fellowship with God is going to be more awesome. Your hearing from God is going to be more, you know, effective. And your understanding of the word, and your, because your focus, your spirit man, your soul and your spirit man together are focusing together on the will of God. And, you know, yeah, partly because it's the time and season for everybody. I think it's happening with everyone, but some people are not, you know, they're going to be double-minded basically. Double-minded sometimes doesn't mean we're stupid and evil and bad. It means sometimes it just means that we are, you know, pulled by all these different things, and everybody has it. So, but those who conquer him, unify with God, become one with God, it's amazing. It makes a big difference in our life. Amen. All right. 769-220. Who am I talking to you from, please?
It's Enrique and Chris in Georgia.
Hey, you guys. All right. Good to have you tonight. All right. Y'all are awake and alive. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Chris and Enrique, God. I thank you, Lord, for the love factor, God, how to love God, you know, the difference between loving God and knowing that when we love God with all of our heart, how that, you know, he causes us to love our families, our purpose, our business. We find ourselves, people think it's wrong to love your business or love things, you know. Love the things that we do. But when you're in the will of God, Enrica, you and Chris together, walking in that love, that when you, you know, I say all the time, God has shown me years ago that to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. So he even says, you know, to love thy neighbor as thyself. That's a pretty big amount of love, that to love your neighbor as yourself. That love realm, I see God giving you guys a balance on how to, you know that loving the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and in each of you drawing nigh to God like that, and then finding yourselves, because you're not putting him first and he's not putting you first, but you're putting God first, it causes that love, the love of God, to love each other with the love of God in a way, you know, that that God designed it, like with Adam and Eve. You know, I think there was a love there between them that was from the Father, because they loved God first. Until they sinned, they had that love God first thing going on. And so because they loved God first and, you know, were walking in obedience to God while they did, their love for each other was just, you know, amazing. It was unlimited. And so that's where God is wanting you to focus. And then, therefore, everything they did when they, you know, tilled the garden and they did the work that they did. They loved the work that they did. They loved the trees and they loved everything. They loved it because God made it. And even God said when he created it, it's good. And he said Adam and Eve were very good, right? So things only become wrong when we don't have. Then God gives us the proper love for each other and the proper love for our children, the proper love, like Abraham had a proper love for Isaac, or he wouldn't be able to offer him up. And there's that thing when you keep God first, you know, it causes you to so love your child that you'll go offer him. I'm talking about us, Abraham, that you so love God that. That caused you to so love your child that you wanted to offer him to God, even if it meant killing him and then watching God raise him from the dead and making Abraham didn't know what was going to happen. But he just didn't only love God, but he loved his son in an amazing way because he had God first. And the love of the first love, we put God as we got have God first, and that's why God wants us to seek him, Indrik and Chris, to have, you know, God first. That first love is the love. It's not just, you know, a certain kind of love. It is putting God first and keeping God first in our marriage, in our friendships, in our business. And when we do that, then he gives us a love for everything else that we do. We're going to love work. We're going to love doing what we do. We're going to work less. We're going to sweat less and make more and do good. Why? Because it's the love thing. First love, you know, is just simply loving God first. And then that love from him, loving him first, comes to our spirit, our soul, and begins to love and fill our house with love and fill our, you know, everything we do with love, and gives us love to deal with things. When you're in love, when you love something, the problems that you have are like nothing. It's almost like a fun challenge when you love doing it, you know, because work is a challenge. Sometimes it's, you know, how do we grow? How do we do, you know, better? How do we do good? Love God more. And the more you love God, the more you'll love your work. And when you love your work, you're going to be creative in how you, you know, approach things. Because you love, if you hate, you know, if I hate my job, if I'm frustrated with my job all the time, you know, if God's called you to that job, you know, and you're feeling like that, or to a marriage or a family or whatever the thing is, and you're feeling that frustration, it's probably because, you know, we need to back up a little bit and say, okay, God, you know, I know, help me. Put you first in everything I do, because I know if you do, you're going to give me love. You're going to give me love for everything. And love, when love is first, when love is the ultimate thing, everything else works out together for good. All right. Oh, that's really a great message. Wow. I'll take some of that myself. Woo. Hallelujah. All right. 325-280, who am I talking to from, please? All right, 325-280, you there?
Chris from Texas.
Oh, Chris. I started to go ahead and pray for you, bro, because I figured maybe you slipped off into La La Land. That's what Andrika, the call before you, that's what Andrika does. She'll text me and say, Randy, you know, if I don't answer the phone, that means I'm asleep. Just go ahead and give me the word and I'll listen to you later. And I started to do that for you, brother, because I thought, you know, he's never done that before, but there are time, first time for everything. And I thank you, Lord, for Chris tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, for, you know, the power of his faith, God, the power of faith. I see God is, you know, like he told one guy to dig up a tree. He said, go take that tree. And, you know, the master said, take the tree, you know, dig it up. Let's bury it. Get rid of it. And he said, oh, no, master. Because he loved the tree. He loved. And he told the master, he said, well, can we just dig around it one more year and, you know, dig around it a little bit more and treat it a little bit special? And he said, okay, one more year. So he did, and sure enough, you know, it proved to be a blessing. And so I kind of see that God doing that with you, like areas where you're wanting your faith to be, you know, this isn't really working. I got all these other things working over here, but I just got a couple of trees over here that need some work. And do I pluck them up or get rid of them? Or do I just, you know, till the ground a little bit and fertilize them a little bit, whatever I got to get them going. And you decide, you know, God says, yeah, I want, it's like you and the Lord decide to, yeah. So your faith, you know, in areas where you're, where you feel like you're lacking, where you feel like you don't have as much as you need in those areas. It's there. It's all there. It's been planted. It's all there. But God's going to put some care around certain areas of your faith toward certain things. You know, sometimes we have, you know, I have weak faith, and I used to have weak faith in the financial arena. And then God began to, you know, work around me and, you know, take that tree and kind of work a little bit and got it going. And other areas too, like, you know, like certain kinds of relationships, I would have trouble with my faith in those things. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. And so God had to, you know, work with me on that thing. And pretty soon my faith came alive and that tree came back alive and that began to bear fruit again. And I didn't lose it. It just got renewed. So God's going to, instead of losing some things, because it looks like it's just not going to bear fruit anymore, you know, for whatever reason, you're going to till around a little bit and work it and watch God, you know, watch it come back to life again. And because God wants our faith to be, you know, our faith in every area. You know, he wants us to be in a hundredfold. Hundredfold is having our faith, you know, strong in every area. So I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you, Lord, for tilling around some of those trees a little bit and putting some fertilizer, whatever you can do on those things, God, to bring those things to life anew that seem like they're just not bearing any fruit. God, you're gonna like cause them to bear fruit again. They will bear fruit again. In Jesus' name, they will come forth again. And God's going to make sure of that, and he's going to show you how to work around it, you know, and dig around it and that kind of thing to get it to come back to life again. So praise God! Wow, because he wants your. I know God's called you to walk in hundredfold. No doubt, a hundredfold means that you pretty much, you know, have your faith strong in every area. And so that's what I've been asking God to do with me is, you know, some areas, even though I feel weak, my faith. You know, when I activate my faith, I start saying, okay, God, you know, I feel weak in this area. You know, any start showing me how to activate my faith towards you. The faith is there. You know, I don't have to get faith for it. The faith is there, but he shows me how to activate that faith. And when I do, I find, oh, my God, look at that. Look at that. It just takes off and starts growing. You know, we don't have to make it bear fruit. We don't have to sit there and grunt, oh, God, bear fruit. You know, when you take care of the tree, when we take care of those, we have 100 trees over here doing really good. We've got two of them over here that are having trouble. And we go over there and we try to work them in Jesus' name and bring them back to life again. And then once we get them going, they just bear fruit on their own, right? Yeah, that way nothing, there was no loss, no, you know, all that, yeah, so, amen. All right, there we go. All right, 804-218, can I talk to you from, please?
This is Angie from Virginia.
Hey, Angie. All right, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Angie tonight from Virginia. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for God to refine your purpose in her, God. You're refining your purposes. You know what I'm saying? You're refining your purposes. And God's refining those purposes in you and, you know, tweaking them. He's kind of doing that with me in some ways where he's tweaking me in some areas and saying, you know, like this as an example, the app, we've had the app for a long time. Man, I kind of just walked, you know, I kind of got, you know, what did I do? I kind of neglected it, sort of, and just didn't go in there and work on it all the time because other things going on. And finally, one day the Lord says, I want you to go in there and, you know, because I want to use that thing. Apps are really big as far as, because telephones are big. Everybody in the whole world, you know, is having phones. There's satellites now being placed all around the globe. Phones are a really big thing. So I want you to, you know, really accurate. So I went after it, man. I started going there. I said, okay, God, give me the energy. Give me the strength to do this because, you know, I've got used to this thing, you know, whatever. I'm doing other things. And so he refocused my purpose on things I already had, things I was already doing. But he reactivated my focus and got me to go back in my purposes and say, this is part of the purpose, and I don't want you to neglect this anymore. I want you to work on it and do it. And so I started doing it. And then all of a sudden, help that usually didn't help me, like from the company. Usually they just ignore you as long as you're paying them for it. They just kind of ignore you. And so even though we were still paying them for it, all of a sudden, they started contacting me. Well, if you need help with this, I said. So then they started going out of the way to help me. It was really amazing. And it's just one of the few things that's been going on that he's been, things that I've already had going on, but he took the purpose of that thing and said, don't forget about it, because this is really important to where I'm taking you and where I'm going with PGN, where I'm going with the globe and the world and the way I want to communicate. And, so I'm going like, all right, it's not really costing me anything other than time. I'm not really, paying any more money or anything. I'm just like going in there and fixing and using it to its fullest potential, or at least that I can make it do, which is, I've already done that. And it's really been surprising me. And I've got a few more days working on it, but I broke through. And it's like, I felt, happy. I didn't realize how sad I was about that, because although it was working, for certain things, it wasn't doing anything close to what it could. It's like having a car and you got 8 spark plugs and you only got, 4 of them working, you're going, but it's not really going, it's not going full. So I see God doing that with you and showing you what to do, how to do it. And you're going to be surprised that people come and, are you going to find help, going to be help for you, God's going to need some help and whatever way that is. All right. Awesome. All right. 610-969. Who want to talk to you from, please? All right, hang on a second. I might have all right, hang on a second here. I have to reactivate. I had a little issue tonight with did I aim myself up, huh? All right, give me a minute here. Okay. Let's try it again.
Oh, shalom, Prophet Randy.
There we go. We got you on.
I thought it was me, though, because I was on a Bluetooth.
I'm having a little trouble with my... Yeah, I'm having a little trouble with the internet tonight, or some other things. But we're getting it, though. All right, what's going on, girl? How can we pray for you? Who do we pray for tonight?
Thank you for asking, because I would like to pray for my ma, Nisandra, and of course, Devante.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll do it. Thank you. What do we think for Sandra tonight, for ma? God, we thank you for Sandra. Well, we thank you for her health, that you keep her mind. When our brain is working good, I'm finding out, other things work well also. It's a thing that our brain runs everything. That's the way, and that's not New Age. Like some people have been, it's the way God does it. He uses the brain, the soul, he works through the spirit and the soul. And so when the soul or the mind, I believe the soul and the mind are one. The brain and the soul and the mind are all one until the brain dies and the soul goes to heaven. But hopefully. Anyway, so thank you, Jesus, for that. And so, Lord, we thank you for show ways to help her keep her brain happy, keep her brain flowing, keep her brain where she can think clear, think straight. And because when you don't think clear, you're not happy. And when you're not happy, it's not good. So I thank you, Lord, that you take Ma, Lord, and you help her with her brain, and I mean, I think I could pray this prayer for everybody. I certainly prayed it for myself, that God would begin to do something with our brains, to where we can activate our brains to the highest level. So show them ways, God, to help her activate her brain, to keep her, you know, when your brain's not functioning well, you're not functioning well. So the Holy Spirit helps us to, you know, he starts teaching us, here's how you keep your brain going. You don't just pray in Jesus' name, get your brain going. You feed your brain what it needs. You feed it physically what it needs, and you quit feeding it things that messes it up, because it's the it's like every time we eat too much sugar or whatever else we eat that's wrong, that's not good for it. A little, you know, I a little bit of sugar once a week, and you know, but I don't have it every day, right? So it doesn't really affect me. But but sugars, the wrong kind of sugars, cause confusion with it's like our electrical system gets, you know, messed up, and all the wires in there start, you know, and so we're functioning at, you know, a small level. And so thank you, Jesus, for helping them to show her what she needs to function at the best, God, where she'll feel the best, be the best until she goes to be with the Lord. And thank you, God, for that. Because even God wants us to live our best as Christians. He wants us to live our best as born-again believers. You know, we can die and go to heaven, but our life on earth, God wants us to really be blessed. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. And Devontae, God, that you want to bless Devontae. Same thing with him. God, that you, as you do a work in his mind, the way he thinks, God, that you begin to use your word, Lord, the things that have been planted in him over the years to activate him toward, you know, thinking clearly, toward saying, man, I gotta start doing this and quit doing that and do more of this and less of that. And all the different things that his thinking begins to change, and the way he thinks about things, the way he works through things, you know, begins to change. And so I thank you, Lord, for that, so that he can be very productive. And the clearer we think, the more productive we are, because we do things right the first time instead of having to do them a bunch of times. Well, thank you, Lord, for that, and helping him to make the right decisions, God, to think clearly about his life in every way. You know, God is very gracious and kind and forgiving, because we all, when we're young, we do a lot of stupid stuff. And God is gracious because he knows we're going to do stuff. You know, even Joseph seemingly did some, you know, pretty foolish stuff. But God brought him through it. You know, he brought him through it. It didn't damage him for his whole life. In fact, his mistakes became the things that lifted him up. They got him into a place where he got lifted up. So we think in all those things, God, and Devontae, God, you're going to take everything, all his blessings, all of his successes, all of his failures. You're going to take them all. You're going to turn them out for good in Jesus' name. Amen, because you got a mama praying for him, and that's a beautiful thing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So thank you, Lord, for that, and thank you for Lisa, God. We thank you for Lisa, God, that I just hear the word praise, like God saying, praise me right now. Just begin to praise me. And you've already done prayers. You've done a lot of things. You've read the word, your scripture. And just begin to praise him. And as you praise him, it's like you're watering the tree, you know, that's already planted. You don't need to plant any more trees, you know, as far as you need to, God's showing you that, you know, once we get a tree planted and it starts growing, we learn to water it. But God, show her all the different ways to water the trees that she has going on. Because, you know, we've got to try to go out and plant more trees when God's saying, hey, I want you to water the trees that you have, because the water's, when you water them, you know, like once a tree is planted, the seed put in the ground, and it begins to grow, and then what do you do from there on? You dig around a little bit and you water it. You know, mainly what you spend most of your time doing, and you know, like the country had out in the front yard, like, you know, I just water it now. As long as I keep it watered and a little fertilizer once in a while, and it does great. So Lord, show her the simple, easy ways to water and to take care of the things that and to make sure that to nurture the things and water the things in her life, in her own life, and in her family, and her children, and her child, and whatever, and her relationships, in Jesus' name, to water them. And it's not complicated. It's not overly, you know, overwhelming. It's simple and easy. And there's still a little water on there. And it goes, ooh, yeah. When I water the trees, especially when it's hot, man, it's like, man, they go like, thank you. And the leaves start, you know, going from saggy to, you know, being full, opened up and that kind of thing. And so they just tell you that they're happy. So sometimes watering things is really a big, big thing. So God's called you to water, I think. Of course, you can. God's showing you all the different ways to do that that are simple and easy and powerful. All right. 214-646, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, y'all. Hey, Terrence and Tanisha, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for those doors, God, for the many doors. Like, I see more than, like, one door. I see, like, several doors that God's opening. And, you know, I don't know if you've been knocking at them or what, but, like, I see, like, you know, more than one door standing before you and knocking at that door, and God's going to open some doors. And, because you've been laboring, you've been believing God, you've been pouring your life into it, pouring your heart into it. And, you know, it's kind of like something getting off the ground or a door opening, you know, like I want to connect those two things as things getting off the ground or a door opening as basically the same thing. And, So thank you, Lord, for that. And, we work hard, we labor, and we labor, and it's like, finally, it's like, you know, it's starting to get off the ground. It's starting to, you know, get off the ground. And so that's all. I don't know what else to say about that, but other than that, so thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for their labor. Thank you for the doors that you're opening up for them individually and together. And, because, you know, they've been knocking. You know, as the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. And so, I think it's a process. We ask, we go through the process of asking, you know, what's going on, God? What do I do? And then he says, he shows you some things, and then you take those things that you've gotten answers on, you know, ask and you shall receive. You receive some answers about things. You take the answers and you start, you know, seeking God with it. And then as you seek him, you find, and what you find really is the door. And it's a process, and you guys can go through that process. And so God is, you know, getting some things off the ground. And, that process you've been going through as, you know, a development that's just, you know, like building a house. You know what that's like. So it takes time. You go through different, you know, problems and issues. But when it's all finally done, said and done, it's like, wow. It was worth the work. It was worth the wait. It was worth it. And that's what I hear you saying. It was worth it. It was worth it. It was worth it. The pain, the heartache, the troubles, it was worth it. And I see you weeping. I see you giggling, laughing, weeping at the same time. Like, wow, it was hard. It was difficult. But the joy of you know, yeah. So thank you, Lord, for that and opening that up, God, in Jesus' name, and blessing them, God, with the good. Men for their labors to you and for serving you and, you know, being tenacious. Tenacious Tanisha. Actually, we're like two words together. Tenacious Tanisha. I never forget that. And it was amazing. It was like many years ago. And probably little did you know, you're going to need that tenaciousness to really be an effective part of your life. So. Really cool. All right. Let's go here and see what else is going on. All right. Thank you, guys. What a great word. Awesome. All right. 912-318. Who want to talk to a friend, please? Nine one two three one eight. Are you there?
Where am I at? I think I did 3191238. All right, are you there? Not 9123188. Okay. All right, give me just a second here. All right, Lord, I pray tonight for my friend tonight. In Jesus' name, we thank the Lord for the anointing to break yokes, God, and to set the captives free. Lord, that you are opening that place, that anointing, that to deliver, to open up, to cause, to be, destroying the yokes. Sometimes we go through a time where we do all these different things, and, God says, this particular thing is like a yoke that needs to be broken. And sometimes yokes can be things that we have believed before, we have been connected to, we have been, associated with. Maybe they weren't necessarily bad things, but just things that were a yoke. And things we get yoked up with, sometimes we get into a season of change where there's a big change in what we're yoked up with. So God begins to, open up that place and show you how to, get re-yoked, like God is, breaking yokes and so that you can be free. I see like freedom, like God setting you free. I don't know if it's a spiritual thing or a physical thing or people or I'm not sure exactly what it is, but yokes being broken, not just around you and from you. Sometimes it can be, people, sometimes it can be, things we've been connected to that were for a season, and God says, I want to break that yoke right now. I don't know exactly what that is, but I thank you, Jesus, for this is kind of a thing God's doing in your life to cause you to, those yokes to be broken from your family members, from whoever they are, and, bringing a new place of freedom and liberty and being able to make choices, like something being broken off the minds of people, just yokes. Like I say, they're not all necessarily bad things, but just things they believe wrong. Maybe maybe it's time to not believe that anymore, to move on to something different. And so thank you, Jesus, for the breaking of the yokes and the being yoked up with God. I mean, because I see God really yoking you up with Him, and with people, with things, with a new way, with financials, and showing you how that, what being yoked up with Him and who He brings to you and how He sets you up, and how there's freedom in that. It's not when people, when we yoke with people on our own or in the flesh, just through, friendly, nice, relationships or whatever, it can be bondage because, flesh with flesh, in any kind of a connection, can be bondage. It can be, bring trouble. It can bring, people start tying each other up if you will, emotionally, mentally, obligatory, being obligated to. So I see the obligation things being broken and God giving you a whole new a way to connect and right. Yeah. So awesome. All right. Hang on a second here. I'm getting texts as we go. All right. Let's go here to 402-650. Who am I talking to the phone, please?
Hey, Randy. It's John and Melissa in Omaha.
All right, you guys. John and Melissa in Omaha. Thank you, Lord. Okay, thank you, Jesus, for John and Melissa. Thank you, Lord, that the decisions, you know, making decisions and making decisions together, learning how to trust one another in decisions being made. Sometimes God brings people that think differently than I do, approach things a little bit different than I do, so that I can expand, you know, and just depending on my ability to work things out, figure things out, know things. Sometimes he brings people that think a little bit differently, approach things a little bit differently, so I can, and they can kind of contradict me a little bit. I'm going like, what are you doing? And it becomes a thing where I look at things a little bit. Oh, wow. Yeah. Because it gets your attention. You start going, well, I've never looked at it like that before. So you start looking at things a little bit differently. And when you do that, it's really, really a cool thing. Right, because you are, you're growing. You're beginning to expand, and so you know. Sometimes God gets me out of my little limitation realm where I've gotten so used to a certain thing, and He says, you know, I'm going to break you out of that. So I'm going to bring people that are going to get to provoke you to think differently, provoke you to think, you know, in a bigger way, open up your mind to things, and God's involved in it. And what He does, He starts opening my mind up to, you know, thinking differently about things instead of thinking about it religiously or non-religiously or whatever. I'm thinking about it in a way that God is saying, "Hey, I'm trying to teach you some things here. There's a lot more to this than you realize, and I'm going to show you things that are from me. And I'm going to use other people to provoke you. You know, you may not exactly do everything the way they're talking about it or thinking about it, but it's going to open you up to start thinking." You know, approaching ideas and things, how to work things and do things, how to live life in a completely different fashion. All right. Sometimes we do what we were raised to. Sometimes, you know, God wants to bring us past that and beyond that to where we think big. You know, we're thinking bigger. Thinking bigger means you go through pain. You go through the pain of disagreements with people and, you know, and find out that, hey, you know, hey, I think I'm wrong about some of that. I don't know why exactly. Well, I could be wrong. I don't know. But it does. It does with me. And so I realized, oh, my gosh, I wasn't thinking about that clearly. And he opened up my mind. I had some things go on prophetically just recently, just that God woke me up one morning and said, you know, why are you worrying about that for? Because this is, I've already got it all set up. And I just never thought about it the way he brought it to me. Like, I'm going, wow. And it set my mind free. 99%, maybe 98%, you know, like I was really concerned about it. And because I wasn't thinking about it clearly, it was simple once I saw it, but it's like I couldn't for some reason get it, you know. And so he opened me up, and sometimes he uses people to do that. He'll use people to contradict you, to say things that are different, not that you totally agree with them or go with their way, but it's like it opens you up to like, okay, well, maybe there's something. And so we start seeing things differently, looking at things differently. And it's pretty cool. Yeah, pretty cool. All right, John and Melissa, that's for you guys. God uses each other, especially in marriage, He uses your mates to get you to think differently, bigger, you know, broader, whatever. It's still the Lord, but some of it's the way me and my family do it. You know, me and my family do it this way. It's the only way we do it. And it's like, that's the only way we do it. And like, God's going like, well, let's see about that. Let's see if we can expand you a little bit. Yeah. So anyway, really, really cool. All right, you guys. Thank you. All right. 612-991. You want to talk to me from, please?
Hello, Randy. Joyce. And Blossom from Minnesota.
Hey, Joyce. Good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Joyce and Blossom. Thank you, Lord, for Blossom, God. Thank you, God, that, that you know,
maturing into another level of, you know, when we mature and we get older, we have, you know, a lot of things happen as we start growing up. We go from being 10 to 12, you know, that there's things that kick in. There's genetics that kick in. There's, you know, we go from being a child to being, you know, starting to grow beyond childhood. And we start thinking differently and we start looking at things differently and we kind of lose some of our, it appears our innocence, the way we thought about things. But really what happens is when we start maturing, our mind starts, you know, taking on a way of figuring out things for ourselves, you know, and instead of depending on other people, instead of just, you know, so we kind of lose that innocence of, you know, trusting people, trusting mommy and daddy and whoever, you know, or the teachers and all the judges. We start going, well, you know what, I think I got some good ideas too. I think I got some good things going on. And so to learn to work those things and to give, you know, to give room for her to, you know, learn and grow, and, of course, all of it in Jesus. But, you know, so that Blossom can expand her and her thinking, you know, to think big, to think outside the box, you know, to think outside the limited realm where she can, you know, begin to hear and know things and begin to go, well, you know what, I like the way you do that, but I've got a better way. I think I might have a newer way or a better way or some kind of something different way. At least try it, you know, consider it. And her maturity level, you know, growing to where she is, you know, changing the way she thinks. When you're a child, you think like a child, you act like a child because you're a child, right? When you become an adult, you start becoming an adult, if you will. If you go from being a child to a young girl to a grown girl, we start all those maturity levels start changing the way we think, and things get activated in us that aren't normally there. So we need God to help us to work through it because He put those things in us, and when they get activated, He helps us walk through it. And we may make mistakes and fail sometimes, but He's right there to hold our hand and help us to walk through and learn the way that what works for us. Amen. So thank you, Jesus, for the biblical view of all that, and that Boston will see in the Word of God how that God has made room for growth and maturity and earning and growing, that kind of thing. And thank you, Lord, for Joyce, God. And thank you, Lord, for the prosperity realm, God. I thank you for prospering her, for blessing her, God, for opening her up to being provided for, that provision realm, feeling, knowing that God is taking care of her, you know, through different means, through different ways, and that you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yeah, I shall not want. And so thank you, Jesus, for that I shall not want realm. And, training her how to, how to find that place where, you know, I shall not want. What does that mean? That means that, you know, we don't have to worry. We don't have to stress because we look back and we see all the times and the ways God provided for us, even when we maybe made mistakes and didn't do everything perfect, you know, because we're growing, we're learning. And God provided anyway, just like He did with Abraham. And Abraham, you know, was told by God, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to curse those who curse you and bless those who bless you. And he goes to Egypt and, you know, he didn't even remember that almost. He goes, just remember to tell him you're my sister so they won't kill me. You know, he started trying to protect himself. Why? Because he got a word, but, you know, it hadn't connected yet. It hadn't fully grown. And so, you know, little by little, Abraham became a great man of faith because he watched God take care of him in spite of himself. And so that's what we do. We're all humans. We're all learning. Abraham, our great father of faith, learned, made a lot of mistakes and, you know, different things he did. And yet God provided for him in spite of all of it. And, so I thank you for that faith that she walks in, God. I thank you for Joyce's faith, God, that she has a faith of Abraham, the faith of Jesus. And she has that faith, God, and you're teaching her, training her how to, you know, learn to abide in that trusting and obedience. Amen. Where she, where we get overwhelmed with concern less and overtaken by the grace of God more. Amen. Yeah. All right. Very cool. All right. 863-605.
Hey, Randy, it's Charles and Nikki from Florida. And could you please pray for Stephanie and Destiny and Joshua's birthdays tomorrow?
Stephanie, Destiny, and Joshua. Okay.
All yeah, right. Josh's birthday is tomorrow.
How old is he?
He'll be 31. His birthday's August 31st, and he'll be 31.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. All right, cool. All right, thank you for that. Always pray for Josh tonight, 31. I think I started ministering. You know, I started my ministry when I was 30. And anyway, I don't know what that is. But thank you, Jesus, for Josh's ministry, God, first, even though it may not look like he's there, you know, it may look like he's going that direction. But God, I thank you that you put a bit in his mouth, God. Sometimes we go through this time period where we're kind of wild and we're kind of crazy and we're kind of doing things because we're trying to feel out our way. And then we start realizing, you know, all the things that we did nothing but make us feel, you know, bad, you know, didn't really help us much at all. Didn't make us happy and made us, you know, miserable. And so, so I thank you, Lord, for all the misery that we call for ourselves and that Josh, just like I did, calls myself. And then that's really what you was used to wake me up. That's what God did. He said, I don't think if I'm going to be like this the rest of my life, I don't think I want to be like this. And so, you know, I began to, cry to God. And when I did, God heard me. And little did I know how awesome it's going to be. So we thank you, Lord, for a happy birthday for him, 31st, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for that turning to be a blessing for him somehow or another. And that's tomorrow. That's Thursday. Wow. All right. So thank you, Jesus, for that. And hallelujah. It's the end of the month. It's the last day of the month. And thank you, Lord, that we're just going to believe this the last day. He's going to find the past is going to become last, and the future is going to begin for him. And Jesus, Lord, I'm declaring, decreeing that in Jesus' name over his life. Lord, for destiny, God, we thank you for destiny, God. We thank you for all those DNA things that we deal with. Lord, I know that just like Josh and me and my children, my family, and all the different things that sometimes, you know, my God, you think like, where did that come from? You know, was I like that? You know, it just happens. It's genetic. It's genes. It's DNA. It's the blood. And some people, you know, get deep into sin, and some people don't. You know, I got into sin. Some people got more deep into sin than I did. But you know, when Jesus comes along, you know, and we get our doctrine straight, right? Well, then you know, he begins to, you know, help us maintain freedom, and we get that freedom, and we keep walking with that freedom. I thank you, Lord, for Destiny, that you show her how to maintain the freedom, maintain, you know, because a lot of this stuff that goes on with our bondage and our fear of bondage and our fear of going back is in the brain, it's in the mind. And so I thank you, Lord, that you're reshaping her mind, God. I thank you that you're renewing her mind. You're reshaping her mind. Renewing means like reshaping. He reshapes it where it's round and beautiful, and instead of like dents in it and all that kind of thing, you know, messed up from DNA. I thank you, Jesus, that her soul, her mind, God, you're showing her how to, you know, restore her mind, God, to what you wanted in the origin, in Jesus' name, what you wanted for her in the beginning, and open that up for her, and let a great joy rise up within her, Jesus, that, you know, the new is ahead of her, and all she just do is just persistently pursue it, and little by little, she's going to walk into it, and then one day she's going to look back and go, my God, look how far I came. Look what God and I did. It's amazing. And for Charles and Nikki, God, we thank you, Lord, for Charles, God, we thank you, God, that that as you begin to complete things that have been started, finishing things that have been unfinished, so far, just for whatever reason, doesn't really matter, but, you know, it could be, you know, just life can be the process, can be sometimes, you know, our fate needs to change, needs to become, you know, more focused on those particular things. And I thank you, Lord, that you're re-examining, as Charles re-examines God, he's going to find himself, you know, like I've done lately, just things like the app. I know I'm talking about this a lot right now tonight because it was a big thing. It was a difficult thing. I had to pursue and persist because something was not letting me break through on that. And finally, boom, it happened. And now it's, you know, and so, you know, so some of the things that were, you know, not working, that God had called me to do, and he started showing me the purpose of this thing, that, you know, it totally reinvigorated me. Gave me happiness to know that, you know, we're moving forward on some things that we weren't moving forward on before. They were just kind of stuck. And so thank you, Lord, for unsticking, for the unsticking, take the sticky out and get this, and being able to move forward, God, and complete things that need to be completed, just like exactly what I'm doing right now. Completing things that I should have done, maybe should have done already. You know, I don't know what should have been, but it's happening now, and I'm thankful that it's happening now. Preparation for the future, yeah, for sure. In Jesus' name, thank you for Nikki, God, that all the, you know, all the things that have, you know, where she has been limited on, God, where her limitations and her faith, limitations in whatever her struggles or battles, feeling like, you know, what's going on. What I do right, what I do wrong, what do I need to change, what's going on with everything that I'm doing. And so, like, you know, you begin to get a handle on, you know, because when our mind becomes clear, we begin to go, that's right, that's wrong, this is good, that's bad. And some of it, sometimes we still don't know quite, but beginning to handle on, getting more of a clear shot, understanding on, you know, what I need to keep developing and what's part of my purpose and what's not part of my purpose. And if things are not part of the purpose that God asked me, I'm going to just, like, little by little or maybe quickly drop them or let go of them, whatever they are, and move forward. And thank you, Jesus, for that, for her giving her that clarity of mind in Jesus' name to know the things that are hindering her and the things that are blessing her, and that she can, like when Jesus said, cast your net out into the water and catch the fish, and you drag it in, the net in, you throw out the bad fish, keep the good ones. It's just that simple. And that's life. That's the way it is. Sometimes we gather something in, we have good fish and bad fish, and we have to throw away the fish that are too little or too big or too not edible or whatever. We throw them back in, let them go back to whatever, and we end up with a harvest. And so I thank you, Jesus, for that harvest time in Jesus' name. And then all right, 803-991, can we talk to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Angela, South Carolina.
All right, girl. What you doing over there? You're alive and well, sounds like. Okay, good.
Yes.
I don't know. We don't normally. Go ahead. You were saying something there. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying I'm good. How are you doing? I know it hasn't been a while since
I
chatted with
you. I know. Yeah. Call in sometime and chat with me. All right, good talking to you. We'll chat soon. You know, we don't chat on Wednesday, as you already know. But thank you for chatting with me for a second. Anyway, I appreciate that. Thank you, Lord, for Angela, God. I thank you, Lord, for her heart, God, to give. She wants to have things like, it's kind of like you get ideas and different things and different things that you, so you can give them. You can give them away, so you can bless people with them, like, you know, you know, not that we can't sell some of the things. It's not about selling things, but it's about being able to produce things that really help people. And when people really get helped, like in the ministry with merchandising, you know, the thing is, if you're really in preaching the gospel and getting revelation from heaven, you can give. A minister should give it away, because that's the process of money. The process of money in the ministry is you give the information from God away. Right. And then but as far when it's not ministry stuff, when it's other things, then you know, when you minister things that people go, man, that's changed my life, that's helped me, then they're going to give, man, they're going to help you. And so in the business world, the same thing in different ways. It's, you know, when we make things or do things that people go, man, you know, like Jeff Bezos, who has Amazon. I mean, look what he did. He created something that everybody wants it. You know, they use it and makes millions. And so, because God has put it in you to produce things that really help people, that really, like your thing, the egg thing. I'm still doing the egg thing. still doing that, and it's really blessing my head. My hair is really thickening up. My hair is really, really fine. Like, I've been told before a few times that my hair is like feathers. It's so fine, so fine. So one of the things with mine is that as I began to lose some hair, it still kept a lot of it, but it was so fine that it just didn't show. Man, when the egg stuff got in there, it just, you know, it just made it look like it was double what it had. I'm not even exaggerating. It was amazing. So that was it. That was my idea. And I know that brought you great pleasure that you helped me and there's other people starting to do it too. That's starting to put egg on their head, you know, and even though it's a thing that is been done many times over the years, you know, you brought it to my attention. I didn't know anything about it. No, everybody kind of forgot about it because it was an old thing, but you were used to reactivate that thing and it helped me and it's helping others. So you love that. That's part of your life. And so when that happens, people want to help you. They want to do things for you. They want to, you know, if you have products out there in the world, that product really helps them. You know, what are they going to do? They're going to say, hey, man, I love buying this stuff. I'm not buying this because I'm paying for this because I have to. I'm paying because, man, it's really doing me some good. So I thank you for the heart you've given her to produce things, to do things that really bless people, that make people think differently, look differently, feel differently. And you've given her that as her calling in Jesus' name, and it's going to manifest in many different ways. You know, so, Lord, I thank you for producing all those things in her and letting her find the order that you want her to do things in, to develop things and to give information like the egg thing. I mean, that was just one of the other things you've given. You gave me some other things too, but that really helped me. And so, thank you, Lord, for that, that you will increase that and multiply that. And you know, some things that are old, people forgot about, you know, all of a sudden God's going to bring them up and new and go, man, you know, they haven't done this in 100 years, but look what it does. it really does something. It's really amazing. And so, you know, whether it be old things brought to new or new things created, whatever they are, thank you, God, for the ability in her to do that and walk in that in Jesus' name. All right. All right, 251-239, who am I talking to from, please? All right, give me a second. I'll be right back. My sister tonight, God, I thank you for her. I thank you, Lord, for blessing her tonight, God, and giving her the wisdom that she needs. The Bible says, ask for wisdom and you shall receive it. 251-229. Ask for wisdom and you shall receive it. And one of the things that we do that causes us problems, that causes us to do things over and over again, is because we don't have wisdom. And we're not using wisdom that God gives us. So we thank you, Lord, for giving her wisdom, for however you choose to give her that wisdom, through others or from you personally, that you give her wisdom, because wisdom does things in a way that it causes things to have less effort and makes things less difficult to work with and deal with. And so I thank you, Lord, for that with her, God, that you've given her wisdom from above, not man's wisdom, not human wisdom. Human wisdom can be okay, can get us places, but the wisdom of God goes to the root of the issues and deals with things and goes right to, you know, how things actually work and how to work them. So what you're doing is, you know, the Bible says, any man who asks wisdom of me, and I will give it to you, and I will, bless you with that. So, so God's going to give it to you, and you're going to find yourself all of a sudden going, man, I can't believe I figured this out. Oh, wow, I can't believe that this actually worked when I tried it, you know. So you're going to find that God is giving you wisdom. It's not just through people. It's not just through, you know others and that kind of thing, but he's actually going to give it to you, you know, personally. And you're just going to feel, I should do this. You're going to just start thinking, you know, thought process, and I'm going to, you know, and give God give you the courage to try it and to do it as he gives it to you. Sometimes the wisdom that we get from God, you know, is so unique, it's so different to actually try it, because I'm thinking, where'd that thought come from? And you start realizing that, that those thoughts are coming from the Lord, and they're coming quietly and peacefully and just through your thought processes. It's not a dream or a vision, or those things are all great. But sometimes God, the easiest way God wants to speak to us is just through thoughts, through our soul. Our soul thinks, amen, and our mind thinks. And so thank you, Jesus, for that. And helping my sister to walk in that, live in that, and have the courage to step out and do it. All right? Awesome. Okay. Give me a second here. I'm trying to check on it. Somebody tried to text me a little ago. Give me a second here. I'll get back with you. All right, Jeff and Uke. All right, going to pray with Jeff and Uke tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff and Uke, Colorado. We thank you, Lord, for blessing them tonight, Jesus. We thank you for ministering to them. And hang on a second here. And showing them their ways, God, and Lord, I thank you for as they, you know, continue to persist and, you know, test me. I see you like testing things. Maybe you've always done that. I don't know, but I test things a lot. And there's that that test, you know, the Bible says, test me and try me and see if I won't pour out a blessing on you. You know, test me and try me is not just, you know, a thing to raise money. Preachers use to raise money because they do use it to raise money. Now, it's okay, but test me and try me in many different ways. There's many different ways to test and try God. You know, try this and test this. Some people think, Jeff and you, that being led by God is just like we have all the answers and we know everything. Sometimes he gives you a little bit of an idea, as you know, you already know this, and then you begin to work a little bit. And then by the time you get through developing whatever you developed out of it, it's like what you started up with wasn't anywhere near where you ended up. So, you know, but you have to start somewhere with some things and begin to develop them and to open up, you know, your mind and let God begin to lead you and guide you, you know, how to develop a thing. And we use the same old thing about the light bulb guy who made the light bulb. And, you know, he went through a lot of mistakes, you know, but he had a burning passion to do it. The thing is with you guys, you have a burning passion. You have a burning passion to do what you're doing. And because of that, just like the guy with the, you know, who built the light bulb, he just knew he was going to do it. He knew it, but it's like, you know, how many times do I have to do this thing? What's going on? And, you know, and he just kept, because he kept seeing. Once you see what God wants to do with you, like somebody said on the show one night, Donald from Florida, he said, once you see it, you can't unsee it. You know, once you see and start seeing what God wants to do with you in general, even, you know, you can't unsee that. It's like the guy when he made the light bulb. I mean, he just kept, he saw it. He knew it was going to work. He just was frustrated, like, why can't this thing? And so he began to just kept, you know, experimenting with things, trying, testing things. Until he found out the waters, until he found out the things that worked. It could be in business. You know, we could try different business things, different things. I did a lot of different things. And the only thing that worked for me personally was the ministry, was,
you know, prophesying and ministering to people, that's revelating. That's what I am called to do. It took me a long time to figure that out and the way he wanted me to do it. And so so we can find out what we're doing, supposed to do, but then the way we're supposed to do it, that's what was the key for me. I knew I was supposed to be in the ministry, whether it's fivefold or not. I didn't know. Maybe, maybe not. I knew I loved God and wanted to give his word out to people. I felt called, but called to what? I didn't know. So after some time and, you know, experimenting and doing, you know, I finally realized, you know, what the thing that was predominantly working through me was the thing I was called to do. But I just never identified it as prophetic. You know, I just thought it was a word of knowledge. And if the thing God showed me dreams and vision, I never thought about it as being a prophet. So when I finally got a hold of that, even though I was doing it all those years in different ways, to hone in on it and know, you know, precisely what to do is when I began to be, you know, blessed in many different ways. And also got a lot more enemies than I've ever had too. But sometimes when you start walking in toward 100-fold, it says persecution is going to be one of your main things. People are going to persecute you. And I don't know if I've had that much true persecution or not, but some. And yet God, you see through all the persecution you go through, you see it as a strategy God's using to perfect you. Instead of like, oh my God, I'm going to go down, you know. You see it as a perfection thing. You see it as a thing that's perfecting you and that's growing you and that is, you know, showing you how to do things better and, you know, all that. So thank you, Lord, for Jeff and you. Thank you, Jesus, for you, God, that she's, you know, learning how to abide in her thought processes or her thoughts. You know, sometimes we get scattered thoughts, you know. Sometimes when you're into getting ideas, go here and go there, and that's part of it. But I thank you, Lord, for giving her more of a focus in her thought processes, more of a, you know, to be able to meditate. Meditating is being able to focus in on something and focus on it. You know, and meditation is like abiding on a certain thought process and getting all you can out of that thought process and those ideas. So I thank you, Jesus, for that. And in Jesus' name, for blessing her. And her calling in her life, God, amen. And that perfectionist side of her, to develop that in a God sense way and be a blessing and to be a blessing to develop things and get them done right. Yeah. All right. All right, let's go here to 903-808. I'm going to talk to your friend, please.
Texas.
It's Jeannie. Sorry. She might have been almost sleepy or something. Wonder why. It's only 11 o'clock. Yeah, because, yeah, thank you, Jesus, for all they're going through, the Lord. I thank you for giving them the glory, giving them the understanding of your of the manifestation of your blessings and their brokenness, God, that you are, you know, you're doing great things inside of them because they have a will to serve you, because Jeannie has a will to serve you. She has a will to do your will. Once we set our will to God, our battle just become things that perfect us, that prepare us. When you got to set your will to God, then your struggles become things that make you stronger. And even though we get tired and we're sweating and we're huffing and we're puffing because it's a lot of stuff going on and it's work. And I thank you, Jesus, that every trial, everything that she's going through, God, is building her faith muscles. It's making her heart stronger. It's making her, you know, weaker in one sense, but her faith in God is making her stronger than ever, stronger than ever. When we're weak in ourselves, we're strong in him because we know that we can't do it on our own. We have to depend on him. And sometimes God brings things to us that make us weak, that we feel weak by it. Like, I can't control this. I can't. What do I do with this? I don't know what to do with this. I can't. Yeah. And that's why God, when Paul's thorn in the flesh, in a sense, was like that, because he was trying to teach Paul something powerful, and he had to bring something to him that he couldn't control. But he was very much of a, you know, hey, he took authority over things and got business done. And like God says, I'm going to bring you things that you can't do that to, and it's going to do work on you. And it did a beautiful, awesome,
a grace work on him, gave him, showed him unmerited, undeserved favor in a way that he would have never learned otherwise, because of his strong will. Yeah, so God chooses strong-willed people to make them weak so that they can become, their will to choose God stronger makes them stronger. Even though they become weaker and vulnerable, like, what do I do? I don't know how to do it. It exactly. And then our faith becomes stronger and we become mighty men and women of God. And thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, God, in Hollis. Jesus, we bless him. We thank you, Lord, for taking care of him, watching over him, Jesus, making him whole, cleansing him, washing him, bringing him closer to you, Jesus, letting him see, you know, that that he's drawing nigh to you. When you draw nigh to God, God draws nigh to you. And so there's no doubt about that. We thank you, Jesus, for that and for doing that with him and bringing great pleasure to him, God, by knowing that you're washing him and cleansing him and from those things that are the pain and all the stuff. Thank you, Lord, that you're bringing brokenness in a beautiful, precious way, Jesus, to where Hollis will become even more tender and more kind and more loving than ever, and that his love and his generosity will become, you know, more abundant, more obvious. In Jesus' name, the kindness of God, the glory of God in his life, Jesus, and the choosing that you've chosen him, amen, to know you and to glorify your name, God. Do things in him that he will never forget. He will always remember. When we take communion, we do, how can we ever forget what Jesus did for us? It was so horribly, horribly awesome. It was so devastatingly powerful, you know, and so when he got on the cross and all the things he went through and the surprise and the shock that everybody went through, like, oh my God, they got him now. How did that happen? What did he do something wrong? Did God change his mind? He's not the Messiah now. Nobody understood what was going on. It was great brokenness, but yet after that, the glory of God that came on and the church was birthed and the glory of God that came was amazing. Thank you, Lord, for that with Hollis and his life, Jesus and Jeannie. Thank you, Lord, for blessing them. Give me your thank you for their favor that they have. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. All right. 915-929. You want to talk to me, friend, please?
This is Carmen from Texas.
Yeah, got some good ideas from you last night. Thank you for that. Daniel, that's the first night. Okay. He has an early start tomorrow and had to be in bed early. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel. Thank you, Jesus, for Daniel, God, that we thank you, Lord, for the power of persuasion, God, that all the different ways that you persuade him, that you convince him, the ways that you show him things. Sometimes you probably use Carmen, sometimes you use me, sometimes you use friends, sometimes enemies, just different things to show him in different ways that you're with him, that you're on his side, God, that we don't always have the answers, and God makes sure, Daniel, that we don't have the answers sometimes, because the Bible says in Romans 8 that we don't know how to pray for as we ought. When we don't know how to pray, that means we don't know what to do, right? So I thank you, Lord, that there are those times where we feel weak and vulnerable. We feel like, you know, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do about this. That those become the times that God can intervene miraculously and intervene in ways that are surprising, that we're going like, oh, my God, you know, who'd ever thought of that? And I thank you, Lord, for those surprise things that you do in Daniel's life, God, to shock him, surprise him. When it seems like things are going wrong, all of a sudden we realize that when things were going wrong, that meant God was making some adjustments to make things better, to make things greater. And we thank you, Jesus, for that, for your love and your power and your anointing on his life, God, to draw him in and to call him forth. Amen. In Jesus' name, to an abiding place with you, knowing that you are on his side and that you are with him and he's with you. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. And for Carmen tonight, God, we thank you for Carmen. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That thank you for those ideas last night you gave me about that with the
podcast, not on the podcast, with the app. And so, yeah, hang on a second. Yeah, and that's one thing, you know, we were talking about from talking to you last night, but you really do have some great ideas on things, and you have a mind that works on, you know, as God helps you, I guess, I don't know how it works exactly, but you know, being a helper, like the Holy Spirit is, you know, one of his names is helper. He's a helper. So, you know, he's God, but yet he's the helper. You know, it's like he comes to serve. It's amazing that we talk about being a servant, and yet the Holy Spirit is the greatest servant of all, because that's all he does is serve. You know, most people don't even know. They talk about Jesus and God. A lot of people don't ever talk about the Holy Spirit. They're like, he's just kind of like the guy that's like in the background or something, but he's the one, you know, doing the most serving than anybody. He's the one doing, you know, when God said, let there be, you know, man out of the earth, you know, the Holy Spirit was the one doing that. He was the one serving. He was the one down there getting his so-called fingers in the dirt, creating Adam and making all his you know, insides and outside his brain and all that. The Holy Spirit was doing all that. He was doing what the Father wanted, but he was a servant. So I thank you, Lord, for that servant part of her, God, that that sometimes does do the work, you know, getting her fingers dirty and her hands in the dirt. But the rewards that come with that, like the Holy Spirit, you know, I mean, you know, that's what he's called to do, and he does it, and yet things wouldn't get done without him. So, you know, he's a part of the Godhead who's a doer. He actually does the work. He, you know, so thank you, Lord, for that servant part of Carmen, God, that, you know, that you use to do whatever needs to be done. And that all things are possible. I can learn anything. I can do anything. Just need the chance to do it. Just need the opportunity to do it. And I thank you, Lord, that you give her the faith for that, Jesus. And that, you're not gonna have to work like work. It's gonna be the work of God, and God's going to open that up for you, and you're gonna find yourself, you know, being used and using your energies totally for the glory of God. Even though when we go to work, we do things, you know, we're still doing everything unto the Lord, but it's all for someone else. But totally putting your energies and your thoughts and your creative ideas and your labors into God is what satisfies you more than anything. And so that's why God's, you know, going to do that for you. Amen. It's the perfect will of God. But Lord, we thank you for the perfect will of God in Carmen, God. Not the good and acceptable only. We thank you for the good and acceptable. But we thank you, Lord, for the that perfect will of the Father. In Jesus' name, the perfect will of the Father. Hallelujah. Let it be done. Amen. All right. Let's see. What do we got? 480-790-795. You want to talk to Bruce, please?
It's Greg from Arizona. And Randy, can you pray for my sister, Maureen?
What's her name, Mon?
Maureen.
Maureen, yes. Absolutely. Yes, thank you, Lord, for Maureen tonight. Greg, sister, God, we thank you, Jesus, that you give her the strength to that's beyond the natural strength, her own will, the strength in her own will. Give her the strength to just let go, and God, sometimes to let go makes you feel like you're going to fall, makes you feel like you're going to, you know, when you let go, it's like scary to let go. But thank you, Lord, for helping her to let go and let God in a brand new way, in a way that she never has before, God, that she will trust you, that she will abandon herself unto you, believing you and trusting you for all things. God, that anything that seems like failure or seems like fear trying to come against her, the fear of failure, bringing failure upon her, that God, that you've called to, you know, sometimes you do let us fail temporarily to get our attention, to take us to a whole new level, trusting you, a whole new, another level of knowing that you are our Lord and our Savior, and that, you know, that it's you know, it's go time. It's time to go. Time for things to change. Time for things to move. And we thank you, Lord, for that happening with her, God, and blessing her and giving her favor in the time of need, in Jesus' name, and let her know, God, that you affectionately watch over her, and you are, she is the love of your life. You gave your life for all mankind. Every person is important to you, God. Let her see that. That she's just not somebody blowing around in the wind out there, but she's really, you know, been called to serve you and love you and know you, God. Amen. In Jesus' name, you are watching over her. And thank you, Lord, for Greg, God, that you give Greg that level of faith, that level of understanding, that level of peace, to know that without you, nothing can work, but with you, all things are possible. Sometimes we get in that emotional thing where we go, man, I just feel like nothing's going to work. Sometimes God brings us to a place of abandonment in the sense that we go, you know, nothing's going to work. And then all of a sudden God says, yeah, okay, I'm glad you got there. Now, trust me and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I will show you those things that concerning you. But I've been watching over them the whole time. I've never stopped watching. I've never stopped looking. I've never stopped hovering over you and over your life. But all the things where nothing's going on is the nothing going on is part of what I'm doing to work in you. And the work I'm doing in you, sometimes when nothing's happening, that's when everything's going on inside of us. You know, we're questioning ourselves. We're looking, where are you at, God? What's going on? And the beauty of the way God does that is absolutely amazing. Amen. So thank you, Jesus, for that. And Greg, and that you're bringing him to that amazing place, that he's going to be amazed at you, blessed by you, called by you, chosen by you, and that sometimes having seemingly nothing going on is the very thing that's like, look at Joseph. I mean, it's like nothing was going on toward what, you know, he had these great visions and these great dreams and like, oh, my God, amazing. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, nothing's going on. Nothing's going on. In fact, the opposite is going on. It wasn't just nothing. It was like going backwards, it seemed. And yet all that going backwards was leading him to the place that doing nothing, then nothing happening, was leading him to the very place to where he could, you know, walk in God's will. And, all right, thank you, Jesus, for that. All right, 240-482, let me talk to you some, please.
This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hey, Valerie. Valerie, thank you. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Valerie tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the heart that you've given her, God, to seek you, the heart to never give up on you, the heart to know that she doesn't know what she's doing, but she knows that you do, and she's trying to learn how to obey you in every kind of way, every situation, learning how to obey your voice, learning how to you know, seek your face and wait for you to answer and wait for you to do it and wait for you to do it. Sometimes waiting is difficult. So I know with me personally, you know, I've learned how to wait. Like when I go shopping, you know, with Julie, when I've gone shopping with Julie over the years, you know, I mean, she could sometimes shop for an hour. Sometimes she shopped for 3 hours, you know, in the same area. And I learned how to just be patient, wait. And she come up and ask me, what do you think this looks? Or what do you think about that? And I tell her my opinion. And then I just sit there and I learned how to, you know, like she thought, man, other people would say to her, man, your husband is like, he shops for 3 hours and doesn't say a thing and then complains and go ahead. Because I learned how to wait. I learned how to, you know, just be busy about other things. And you know, so it's right there. As long as I have my phone with me, you know, where I could, you know, write or do notes or look up stuff and search and do things. And, so anyway, so God's showing you how to do that, showing you how to, you know, wait on the Lord. And like I did, in the sense that I learned how to keep myself, you know, quote, busy without getting up and leaving right in the midst of what was going on. And so the Lord loves that. You know, so I heard a story one time where a guy went to work for a preacher, called him in, a pastor called him in, a big pastor, well, old pastor, he calls him in, and And so the guy, you know, gets there, and the secretary says, sit right there, sir. And so he sits there, you know, for an hour, 2 hours later, 3 hours, and then 8 hours later, he's still sitting there. And the pastor came out, and he says, hi, how are you? And the guy still had a good attitude about it. He said, just fine, sir. I'm glad to be here. And he said, you know what? I said, I could have had you in, you know, hours ago, but they said you were a missionary. I wanted to see if, because missionaries have to be able to be patient and wait and see, you know, and so, that's what I was doing. And so now you are definitely, I'm definitely going to put you to work. So you passed the test. All right. Yeah. So anyway, all right, there you go. All right. 919-995. You want to talk to me, come please. All right, 919-995. All right, Cheryl. All right, Cheryl. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for her life, God. We thank you, Lord, for hope. Thank you. All right, thank you, Lord, for Cheryl tonight. Thank you for the work that she allows you to do in her life, God. The work that she gives you approval to do. Sometimes she didn't always jump up for joy about it, but it's like, okay, God, whatever you want to do, here I am. And that's what God really loves about you. He's learned to teach you how to. He's teaching you how to learn how to let Him do a work in you, whatever state you're in, to be content, right? And so that contentment, you know, can cause you to live in a place of, you know, keeping your mind at peace. Because keeping your mind at peace is the ultimate thing. Because when God finally gets ready to say, hey, you know, let's go do this thing, we need to be at peace. You know, instead of being all riled up and, you know, upset and all that kind of thing, to be able to, you know, have peace, because peace is what really allows us to, a deep inner peace I'm talking about, is what allows us to be able to hear God, right? Yeah, when it came time for them to cross over the River Jordan, you know, and go to the Promised Land after all those years, they said they were for 40 years, that generation, the old generation didn't go in, but the new generation was. I thank you, Lord, for the new generation, God, and my friend's life, God, that you know, Joshua and Caleb, Joshua was 40 and Caleb was 80, and he had the young and the old, and the young and the old and the middle age going in there. So thank you, Lord, that whatever age it is, we thank you, Jesus, that you choose certain people to have maturity, to have growth in their life. And I thank you, Lord, that you are you know, showing her, Cheryl, that no matter what age you are, no matter where you are, no matter what situation you're in, that your choice to use her and to cause her to know you and doing things moving forward in life is, you know, comes with, you know, maintaining that peace. Maintaining that peace. Peace is what allows us to know you, the peace that passes understanding. The enemy is always trying to get us in strife and get us in anxiety and stress, where we're totally just, you know, consumed with ourselves, where we don't hear the voice of God. So I thank the Lord that you're doing a mighty work, a great work, that she's allowing you to do it, and that she's saying yes and amen to that work in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, it looks like that's my last caller with their hand up. If you get your hand up tonight, get it up there. There you go. All right, 303-386, can we talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Mike and Veronica.
Hey, y'all. All right, good to have you tonight. Hey, good to have you guys. All right, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that resurrection power, God, that, you know, before Lazarus was resurrected, he stunk pretty bad. I mean, it was really stunk. It really stunk. Even Mary's in it. Lord, you don't want to go in. He's stinking. You know, but God, when God looks at people, sometimes he lets things get dead, really, really dead. Like there's some people died. Some people were stinking dead, like they were starting to decay. And yet, God used them. God resurrected them. God did something in them. But everybody went like, you know, if that really works, that's going to be an amazing miracle. That was one of the amazing miracles that Jesus did. And he did it with a Jew of all things. And that's when all the Jews began to, you know, believe in Jesus. They want to come see, you know, and that's what really made the religious people really angry and fearful, was because they're going like, man, now because of Lazarus, you know, stinking miracle, the miracle that stunk, that now is a sweet smelling savor in the nostrils of and even the Jews are starting to come. The religious people, the leaders freaked out. They go, man, now he's really going to get them all. And that's when they began to plan to take Jesus down. They said, that's it. Lazarus was it. They said, man. So Lazarus' situation was a resurrection. It was a, you know, the thing stunk it. It was stunk. It was, you know, he was dead. Why didn't, it seemed like Jesus could have gone and healed him. Mary came, Martha, they people came and said, man, your really good friend is dying. And he chose not to go. The disciples were surprised. Like, he really loved Lazarus. So the whole situation was like, you know, Jesus let him die. And then when he died, he stinking died. And then after that, you know, he said, well, I'm going to, you know, because he knew that the purpose for all that, he was going to get the attention of people that would never have attention. And Jesus knew that when Lazarus was raised from the dead, Mike and Veronica, he knew that that stinking miracle was going to be a sweet-smelling savor to all the Jews that were having a hard time believing in Jesus. And so it caused them to, you know, they started coming not only to see Jesus, but they wanted to see Lazarus. They're going like, oh, my God, you know, what's happened here? And really, that's Jesus knew that. And when that happened, then they began to plan and plot to kill him. And so he knew that the strategy was from the Father for that to happen, so it would so stir up everything, so, you know, create havoc and craziness and, you know, hatred. And the Jews is like, well, we got to kill him now. We got to take him. They made them make their move. And little did they realize it was God's strategy to offer up his son. And, so, you know, because of that, it was all strategy. But it's amazing that was a turning point. So I thank you, Lord, for the turning points in Michael Veronica, Lord. I thank you for the things that stinketh, and God, that you have purpose and for all of it, that you're going to take it and the miracles that you're going to do, God, in them and through them and by them, Father, and that way it's going to be about, it's more about, you know, well, it all stunk pretty bad, and then all of a sudden, like, oh my God, wait a minute, there's a miracle going on, some kind of miracle is happening. And then people came to see, you know, hey, wow, how did that happen? What went on with that? Yeah, so Lord, I thank you that for Mike and Veronica, and in Jesus' name, to bless them, to let them know that, God, even though sometimes really things really stink, there's death smells like nothing else. I used to work for the ambulance years ago. We'd go pick up people that died in their houses, and we're not found for days, you know. Then somebody visited the house, and they found their grandmother or their aunt or uncle or their brothers are dead. Been dead for days. We got to go pick them up, right? And they smelled horrible. I mean, we put them in a big bag, big old black bag, and, you know, hauled them off the ambulance. And it's a stench that you never want to smell. I'm sure maybe you smelled it before, but it's horrific. And so, you know, but you know, when things change, when Lazarus got raised from the dead, you know, it changed everything. You know, it changed. God used it to make the Jews really crazy, angry, mad, and a warfare began that changed everything, the warfare of Jesus and Lazarus. Yeah, Jesus and Lazarus. Wow, what a thing. What a thing. All right, thank you, Lord, for the changes, for the miracles, for the things that stunk, and bringing that your purpose and all that. You wanted it to stink. You wanted it to be, you know, putrefying. People couldn't get close to it. At that point of death, you know, people just stayed away from it. It looks like, that's why Mary said, no, Jesus, you can't. It's too late now. You know, it's just, you know, I wish he could have been here. He would have been, if you could have came earlier, he would have been here. And that's the thing. Oh, if it had come earlier, if it had happened earlier, I wouldn't, this thing would be stinking so bad. Yeah, well, sometimes God designs things to do a certain thing with people. Yeah, amazing. All right. All right, 863-808. Can I talk to Recurrent, please?
Hey, this is Cheryl from Florida.
Hey, Cheryl.
Hey.
All right. Good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the heart of the believer in her, God, that heart that God gave you to believe. And so, but what is I'm supposed to believe? You know, I got a heart of a believer, but what am I supposed to believe? I'm supposed to believe what people say. I'm supposed to believe what, you know, men say, what God says, who said, what says. And what do I believe? What? How do I know what's right? How do I know what's, you know, in that whole process that you've gone through, and God is really trying to you know, to all the different kinds of confusion that everybody has on, well, that prophet, this doctrine, that church, this thing, that thing. And people are like, well, what do I believe? What do I do? You know, everybody says that this particular church is going to hell in a handbasket. Their doctrines are going to hell. They're going to, and this church over here is right. And you know, if you find out that sometimes people are just not right about much of anything as far as, you know, having it all together. Nobody has it all together. So who do I believe? What do I believe? So we start believing. So we start, really what happens is through our life, we start honing in on believing God. You know, even though we already believe God, but now we believe God through all the different ways. The Bible talks about all these different ways we hear from God. Right? We hear from God from prophets. We hear from God from intercessors. We hear from God from the Bible. We hear from God, you know, from a little child. We hear from God. There's all these different ways that we hear from God. And so it's kind of like, you know, all these days we hear, ways of hearing from God, which one is really right? Which one's going to work for me? And so the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. So God's really called you to be a believer who knows that we can hear his voice. And so your purpose in life and your thing is like, you know, okay, my sheep can know my voice. And not just, you know, this way and that way and all these other ways, but my sheep know my voice. So God's really giving you a heart to believe for, you know, yourself and others who are sheep, that the sheep to believe God, you know, to, you know, that they can hear the voice of God. And when they hear the voice of God, then other things confirm it. Instead of hearing the voice always from other people or from other things, from other ways, and then getting confirmation, it's like hearing the voice of God and then getting confirmation after that. And truly, that most of the time, that's the proper way. And God's giving you really a heart to believe, you know, to hear from God, to know from God. And you struggle with that, and you work with that, just like I do. And everybody I know, our big thing is, you know, sometimes I know I hear from God, sometimes I'm not sure, sometimes I think I am. You know, I mean, Randy Chandler and everybody I know, that they've all dealt with the same thing. I don't care who they say, oh, I never had that problem. Yeah, they did. Everybody has. And so the thing is what do we end up with? You know, so our belief to hear the voice of God comes to hear the voice of God in us first, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all those other, you know, then the confirmations that will come will be confirmed because we already know. Now, there's some things that prophets get that nobody else gets. So, you know, but how do we bear witness to that new thing that's coming out that nobody's talking? Everybody's going, no, that ain't going to be right. That old boy, he ain't hear from God. That ain't right. No girl, that ain't gonna work. And it works, and it happens, and people are shocked. Like, so there's this thing of, you know, being able to bear witness with something that even though you don't understand it, you know, there's something about it that's God. And it's like Peter with Jesus, you know, he knew he was the Messiah, but a lot of things he believed, you know, Peter didn't believe. Like, he was gonna die on a cross. You're not gonna die on a cross, Jesus. You're gonna, the Messiah's come to be here with us always. All right? That's what even the angel told Mary that, but they misunderstood what it was being said. So there's a thing of hearing God's voice and then understanding what it means, right? And so we go through that process. God's showing you how to go through that process. And he has been showing, he's going to show you more how to go through that process of elimination of, you know, bring it down to some things you know for sure you hear from God, some things you're not sure about. The things that you know for sure on, you move on them. The things you're not for sure on, you wait until there's confirmation. Sometimes being patient and waiting is the hardest thing I know for me, some of the highest pressure I go through is I'm having to wait. Okay, God, I know you said do this. And other things, they happen so fast, like, oh, my God, wow. But some things that we wait on is part of the process. Like Joseph had to wait, waited. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings as eagles, right? So there's that thing about waiting on the Lord. And, yeah, so anyway, all right. Thank you, Lord, for that. Anybody else want to call tonight? Get that hand up there. We'd love to pray for you. Love to minister to you. So we only have one person without their hand up. So it's just going to... I've been here at midnight for a while, so they're not going to... So if you want to call in, get in there and call in. We also are talking about our app. Our app is go to... There's a way you can download it. If you have an iPhone, if you don't already have the app on your phone, iPhone, you can go right now today, you can go to download the church app on the iPhone from the App Store. Download the app, the church app, CHURCH app. And when you download that, it's free. And then you'll go in there and you'll search for different churches and just put in there PGN. And there, our old logo, the red and blue thing, still shows up. That's the only part I haven't changed it. But then you'll see our new app and all the things. We're really developing it now where it's going to be very easy. It's not finished with it yet, but we got a big start on it. And it's really cool what's happening with it. So go there, get the church app, download it, it's free. And then on the church app, search for PGN. And then our app should be reavailable. If you don't have it on your phone, it should be reavailable here soon. They're going to tell me a date, but Susplash has been working with me, and we're updating, renewing, making it really more easy and better, because we're going to really believe God to use the app in a way like never before. So pray with us about that. And yeah, we've already got the app. We already have to pay for all that. We have to buy it. It's just a lot of work. It's a lot of work, but it's not money. We're going to have to spend, you know, very, very little money, but it's not a money thing. It's more of a going through and relearning how it all works and renewing it. And so we have been doing that, and it's happening. So we're excited about that. All right. Anyway, get the hand up there tonight so we can pray for you and minister to you and bless you tonight with some encouragement, some words, some information. You never know what the Lord's going to say. Most people don't understand the prophetic. They think it's just telling people you're going to be a carpenter or lawyer or a housewife or a father or something. And it has to do with, you know, just him talking to his people. You know, maybe very deadly right on with, you know, powerful, you know, some of it just maybe stuff. I don't know what that means exactly, but it sounds good. And God's just talking. Like when you talk with people, you don't always read everybody's mail when you talk to them, right? You just talk and visit and share and a beautiful time. That's what the prophetic is. It's really just a time of, you know, sharing, talking, and listening to the Holy Spirit talk through his gifts, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My sheep know my voice. It's all about, the prophetic is about helping people to, it's about activating the voice of God in people that struggle with knowing the voice of God. That's really one of the things the prophetic is about. So it's really important that we build people up. And building them up means that you're building them up to know the voice of God for themselves. Not so they're going to follow you so much as knowing the voice of God for themselves and knowing, you know, they'll follow the Lord's voice, whoever it comes through, but they know they're following the Lord. It's not necessarily a person, but if they all can hear the voice of God. Awesome, y'all. Somebody didn't get their hand up there pretty quick. I'm going to call it a night. I've been working really, really hard on day and night on the app. Really been a lot of fun, a lot of work, and I love it. I'm not complaining at all. But anyway, so let's believe God for that to, you know, finish up. And that'll be cool. All right. Pray for me as I endeavor to get wisdom on how to make the app simple. It
through this. The app can be downloaded on any phone all around the globe. And, you know, about getting it out there and how to get it out there. So, yeah, really awesome. All right. I'm going to take a break for a minute. If nobody raise their hand, I'll end the show. All right. 754-255, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Yes, can I talk to your friend, please?
Yeah, this is Donald from Miami.
Oh, hey, Donald. All right, hey, man. All right, let's pray for you tonight. Thank you for being with us. All right, doing good. Thank you. Yeah, trying to pray for everybody tonight. And thank you, Jesus, for Donald. Lord, I thank you for that confidence, God, that that your blessings go from one level to the next, God, that we never coming short of the glory means that we don't come short of the glory means that we're headed for the glory in the earth, for God's glory in the earth, manifesting in the earth. And we thank you, Jesus, for that, for opening him up to the glory realm, to knowing, you know, because when you open the glory realm really means that everything you're doing, you know, one way or the other, you're going to find a way, God's going to show you a way to give him the glory that will cause you to, you know, people are going to give God the glory. What's the glory realm? It's that giving God the glory, giving God the glory, giving God the glory, everywhere you go, whatever goes on. God, please give you the glory, give you the glory. So when we start having that happen, that even we give him the glory for things that to not be, you know, going, yeah, we'll always give you the glory for that. And God, you're moving him into the glory realm in knowing how to give you the glory and giving you glory for, you know, giving thanks, like giving thanks for all, in all things, you think, or giving God the glory, you know. So we thank you, Lord, that you're showing Donald, Father, how to walk in that place of, you know, receiving the glory from you, that you give him your glory so that he can give you the glory. And when he gets in that flow of giving you the glory, God, that it creates a thing in him to where he enters into the glory and more of the glory, where he's always going, God, I just give you the glory for that. I give you the glory for that. And things begin to happen. Things begin to manifest. The glory is a manifestation of God in the earth. And I thank you, Lord, for that whole realm of Donald moving into that place of, you know, the manifestations of the glory of God in the earth. And, you know, to see the glory go from heaven and into the earth realm in Jesus' name, and really seeing that, really knowing that, really believing God that that's what God wants, and that you called him to do that. You called him to walk in the glory, live in the glory, giving God the glory in the earth, watching no matter what goes on, having eyes to see the glory. When the glory's in the situation, when Jesus was on the cross, I mean, it didn't look right, it didn't look good, but there was glory all over that because man's sins were being paid for. And so the glory of God was, you know, being manifest. Everybody was running. Everybody was hiding. It looked like everything was falling apart. And yet God was going like, you know, this is my glory. What Jesus is doing on the cross, as horrible as it looks, to see the glory in that. Now we look back and we take communion and we see the glory of his suffering. We see the glory in it because we know he paid for things. And I thank you, Lord, for that whole thing of glory. It's about payment for Donald, in Donald's faith. About payment, pain. But what did Jesus pay for? So we realize everything Jesus paid for, we want all that, whatever that is. We want it all because if he paid for it, why do we waste the glory? Why do we waste the glory that of his sufferings on the cross? You know, and so I thank you, Jesus, for showing Donald more and more and more how to give you the glory. You give him the glory, the ability to see the glory in a thing, whether it's a good, look like a good thing. Jesus died on the cross, didn't look all that great, but to see the glory in that, and that Donald can start seeing the glory in everything, God, and even the things that the enemy's trying to do, seeing that even God is, you know, taking those things and going to use them for his glory,
you know, God can, I can just hear you say, you know, God can take that and use it for his glory. That old messed up, whatever they are, whatever it is, thing, you know, that messed up thing, that broken down thing, yeah, God can take that. He's going to use it for his glory because, you know, you see that the glory of God in things, even in things that are bringing no glory to God at all, can turn into things. So you, it's like a, it's not a positive thinking thing. It is a knowing that, you know, God can take all things and work it for his glory, for his purposes. And so no matter what's going on, God, that you are developing that in him and showing that in him to where everything he sees, even the bad things, even the negative things, even things everybody's going, oh, my God, no, oh, no, not that. Don't be going like, yeah, I can see some glory coming out of that. Ooh, that's going to be awesome. And it keeps us from seeing things, you know, in a pessimistic, negative way, in the way that, you know, man looks at things like, oh, God, you know, their life's all messed up. They ain't going to, you know, they ain't never going to bring no glory to God in. No, you can see the glory of God working in a thing. And what man calls messed up, you see it as a diamond in the rough, the glory in the rough part, the part that's hidden, the things that can't be seen yet. God's giving you eyes to see beyond the rough, seeing beyond the dirt and the mess and the grime and the nasty and the bad and the bad decisions and all the wrong things. See the glory of God in that thing. And that's really where miracles begin to happen, is when we start seeing the glory. Sick people come, Jesus saw the glory. Came by droves. They came by the thousands. You know, sick people, hungry people, and they came. And what did he do? The glory of God, he fed them all. Why? Because he saw the glory in all of it. He said they were coming for God. They're coming for the glory of God. Instead of seeing, like, oh, my God, how are we going to feed these people? Jesus is going like, man, watch this. This is going to be awesome. God's going to get some glory out of this. And all the disciples are like going, how can we do that? We don't have it. Can't you just send them away, Jesus? No, this is a glory moment. And when he healed certain people, that people would say, well, did this man blind from, because his mama sinned, his daddy sinned? Whose sin was it? He said, no, it's for the glory of God. Yeah, for the glory of God. What a word. What a glory word tonight. It's almost midnight and here in Texas. And the glory words are flowing tonight. First glory word I've given tonight, I think. But, oh, my God, thank you, Jesus. And God's going to start showing you things about the glory. And like I said, what they asked him, you know who sinned that caused this thing? And God said, no, it's for the glory of God. That's how Jesus looked at things. So thank you, Lord, for Donald and Tanya. Thank you for Tanya, God, for giving Tanya faith and hope, God, and new ways and new things. She'll be able to see her eyes being opened up to where hope, to see hope in things that where most people don't see any hope in it. She's going to be able to see hope because she knows what it's like to live without hope, to have very little hope, to have things really messed up, not really thinking right, being right. What do I do about this, God? I don't know what to do about this. And she's going to see hope. She's going to see hope in things that normal people, regular people can't see hope in. Yeah, you're going to see hope in it, and give people hope that suffer with anxiety and stress, and to be able to give them hope and keep anxiety and stress from robbing them of hope, but giving them hope in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Awesome, y'all. Really great tonight. It's getting midnight. Pretty soon you're not going to be able to get into the show, so if you're listening, make sure and get in before the next 2 minutes, please, so we can pray for you and minister to you. We love ministering to God's people. We love to hear what the Holy Spirit says to each individual person. It's amazing. To me, at least, to watch it all go on. So 10 seconds, it says, and the doors will shut on anybody else being able to call in. So, all right. The countdown is on. The countdown is on. Jesus. All right, no more callers tonight. Thank you for being here. It looks like that's about it for the night, maybe. So, thank God for everybody who called in. Thank you for being with us tonight. Thanks for sharing the burden with us and helping and carrying the burden with us and just enjoying what God's doing. We love it.
all the way. We love it all the way. And what great word about seeing the glory and stuff, man. It was like, wow. I've never been there before. Not in that way, but dear Jesus, that was not really cool. Yeah. All right, y'all. It is midnight. And nobody else has their hand up. Got one person there. Only one person left on the show that doesn't have their hand up. Probably asleep, probably. I don't know. If they don't have their hand up, I don't minister to them. Because the hand up means pray for me. Thank you, Jesus. All right. All right, y'all. We're going to call it a night tonight. Thinking awesome. Let me go here. Hey, all right. I love you guys. Thank you very much for your help. Bye-bye.